Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Played this at the top of the last hour. I want to play this as I introduce my guest, because he gets it and I get it, and I hope you get it. Listen, this is New York.
I'm the president of the New York State Association of PBAs, and I just want to talk to you, the press.
He's a cop.
I want to talk to the police officers.
Union president.
375 million interactions with the public every year. 375 million interactions. Overwhelmingly positive responses. Overwhelmingly positive responses. But I read in the papers all week, we all read in the papers, that in the black community, mothers are worried about their children getting home from school without being killed by a cop. Mm. What world are we living in? That doesn't happen. It does not happen. I am not Derek Chauvin. They are not him. He killed someone. We didn't. We are restrained. And you know what? I'm saying this to all the cops here. Because you know what? Everybody's trying to shame us. The legislators, the press, Everybody's trying to shame us into being embarrassed about our profession. Well, you know what? This isn't stained by someone in Minneapolis.
Pointing his badge.
Still got a shine on it.
Showing his badge.
And so do theirs. So do theirs.
Very, very compelling, as you can see. He's the union president. He's angry. He's lashing out. And he's fed up.
Stop treating us like animals and thugs. And start treating us with some respect. That's what we're here today to say.
All right.
Out of the conversation. We've been vilified. It's disgusting. It's disgusting.
All right.
Trying to make us embarrassed of our profession. 307.
So, obviously, there's a lot of emotion there. I wanted to play that, and I wanted one of my longtime friends who had an illustrious career in the Pittsburgh Police Department, and I'm one of my go-to guys regarding community, family, law enforcement, bunch of stuff. Just a good man. Sheldon Williams, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Marty. How are you today?
Well, how much time do you have, my man? You're listening to that. You had an unbelievably successful career in law enforcement. You're African-American, and I generally wouldn't say that, but I think there's reasons for that these days because I want folks to understand the optics, as we like to say. How do you respond to that from a union president in New York who represents probably 30,000, maybe 35,000 officers?
Sure. One of the largest police departments in the country.
Yep.
Let me say, in hearing that, that is not my first time hearing him express that. I understand and appreciate his sentiment. Certainly, he has just as much outrage and is trying to be a voice for those he represents, and not only just those in New York, but he's trying to express a sentiment that is felt by many police officers about the current events. And so I can appreciate his willingness to express his outrage about what's being depicted and what's being shared. And let me say that I think that a lot of people are emoting right through here.
Yep, yep.
And certainly is a good time for us to wrestle with those emotions, because what we witnessed with George Floyd is a time for outrage.
Yep.
But I want to caution people against outrage misapplied. And, you know, that I've not seen, Marty, and throughout my career and continuing to build police community relations, to do, you know, proactive steps so that we can bridge the gap.
Yep.
I've not seen a response like this from our law enforcement community and the citizens when they witnessed what happened to George Floyd. It, on both sides, the immediate have from law enforcement officers that say that that was wrong. There have been many incidents,
yep.
and there would be some who would speak up. You and I have talked about some on this show.
We have.
But there is an overwhelmingly large amount of the law enforcement segment that says that they know that what happened to Mr. Floyd was wrong, and that's a good first step. But also that what he's saying is absolutely accurate, that there are a lot of interactions between police officers and citizens that don't result in that type of action. But I do want to mention that it is good for this time for conversations to happen, because everyone's perspective isn't the same as it relates to police interactions. There are segments of our communities that do have those concerns that when they walk out the door, not that they necessarily will be killed, that can be an extreme viewpoint, but they don't understand what the interaction with their local law enforcement may be if they were to be involved in a police community or police interaction. And so there may be validity to some of it, but we shouldn't brush stroke every police officer. What we need to do is press in and find out why that sentiment is there. And that's what brings about substantial change, is by understanding where viewpoints are and perspectives, and then move towards that change. So I don't want to disqualify what some people might be feeling. And I will say, to be transparent, I've had those same feelings, even as a law enforcement officer that has served faithfully throughout my career and continue. But as an African-American, there is an underlying concern that could there be a bad interaction between me and another law enforcement officer? It's for me to express to my son, who's a city firefighter,
right.
who's also military. I have a daughter that's military. And for me to have conversations with them as African-Americans, I don't want people to lose sight of that, because they don't have that frame of reference. Just understand that it exists. We don't say every officer is going to conduct themselves that way. But I wish that in a perfect world, I wish we didn't have to have those conversations. But they do exist.
Hey, could you hang with me, buddy?
I sure can.
I got a bunch of questions for Sheldon Williams, one of the best of the best, one of the most highly regarded officers in this town, and he speaks nothing but the truth, and there's nothing wrong with the truth, is there? Smarty Griffin. Dan, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Marty.
Great time.
You know, I this is not to take you to task
yeah.
at all. I just want to preface my comment, but
yeah.
I think you have a responsibility, and I think a lot of you and your colleagues have a responsibility,
yeah.
especially now seeing the riots going on,
uh-huh.
everything and the upheaval in society.
Right.
I think you have a responsibility to put things in context
yeah.
and to get better clarity
yeah.
to what is
get to your point,
going
Dan.
On. And I don't really see anybody in the media, well, not many anyways, I don't see many people actually doing that.
In what regard? So I play a police union officer's sound the entire thing twice, and now I have an African-American officer who lived it for more than 20 years on the air. What more clarity would you like, sir, in terms of balance? A guy who lived it and a guy who spoke it yesterday. What would you like?
Well, I would like to take the other officer, or the officer to task as well.
What officer?
Your guest that you just had on
about what?
A moment ago.
He's still here.
Well, I think as we look at the riots, we look at the social upheaval, and we say, well, there's systemic racism going on. And
right.
There's mistreatment
Hurry
towards
up, Dan.
One group of people in particular. There isn't. If you look at the facts, if you look at the FBI, you know.
Dan, stop the lecture. Get to your question for Sheldon Williams. He's listening right now. Highly regarded cop.
We are whipping up public opinion. We're not giving proper context to the fact that there is no systemic racism. That was a terrible thing that happened.
Hey, hold on. That's your question? Is there systemic racism in law enforcement? Is that what you're asking?
Law enforcement or society in general.
All right. Sheldon, thanks for hanging in there with that. I like to hear people's questions, but I didn't want the hour-long lecture that I usually get from Dan. Go ahead, Sheldon.
Yeah, I appreciate his perspective.
Yeah.
And that is exactly the thing that we need to have discussions about, where he doesn't see the systemic aspect of racism, and he's entitled to his opinion.
Right.
But his willingness to want to have conversation, to be able to remove the potential blind spots about what could currently be happening, I think it's valid. But to say that there is not systemic racism when you have voices who are trying to express their own perspective,
right,
the things that they live, not that they're trying to qualify every interaction, but to have healthy discussions about experiences and where these elements absolutely pervade our society, this is why we need to have discussions.
Right.
And so when we talk about these types of incidents, you know, when people say they don't have biases or they don't know if racism exists and this, that, and the other, and we talk about incidents where some people feel like just based on the tone of their skin that they're treated unfairly or unjustly, or that there's interactions that occur with one segment of the population versus another, then this is the basis for what we're saying. Could there be some element of racism?
Right.
And here's some questions for some of your listeners. This is what I like to say to some people,
right,
if they want to challenge their own biases or whatever. If someone came, if you have children, and someone, one of your children brought home a potential paramour, somebody that they like and they want to be involved with in relationship, and they look different than them, what would be their immediate reaction whenever that person walks through the door? Secondly, if a person was facing a crime or had been facing charges of a crime, and that now they got to go through the legal system, and they looked at a jury of individuals, they're supposed to be the jury of their peers, and all those individuals on the jury look different than them, what would be their immediate reaction? And so if they can answer some of those questions and to say, look, I might have some issue with this, there's some concern, but that's getting at the root where we're saying there's some differences here and maybe we need to press into them. So having a conversation is the first step, and I invite those to have these hard discussions so that we can get to some resolution as it relates to these matters.
Sheldon Williams, retired Pittsburgh Cop, one of the best I've ever known, has an insane career and is a community leader, is outspoken. He's a very, very strong in the church and always speaks the truth. You got big fans out there. One of my favorite undercover narcotics guys said, Sheldon is a great man and one of the best officers I've ever known. How about that?
That's it. Makes me feel good.
You knew there was one, man. Hey, so Sheldon, I'm going to ask you kind of sort of what he was trying to ask you. Is there systemic, endemic racism within police departments around the country?
So some of the actions now that we got to parse out,
you know,
that the police departments really try to do their best to try to pick qualified individuals to be able to handle their responsibilities. But we should not expect that of our police department, what we're not willing to pursue within our society.
Nice.
And so
nice.
Our police department can't be free from individuals who might have biases or prejudices or issues because we have it existing in our society. And I like to tell people that we try to present ethical behavior. I'm a firm believer you cannot teach ethics.
Nice.
It's not like something that once you taught, hey, I learned something about ethics. Ethics has to be presented, and it's up to somebody to adopt that standard as their own personal ethics. When somebody doesn't adopt it, then you can administrate it. So there's a standard that's presented. We expect you to act this way, to conduct yourself this way. This is how you interact. When people don't adhere to that because they don't personalize it, then you can administrate it. And so we look at people expect from our police department and the whole higher standard concept. When the standard is the standard, we expect all people to treat individuals this way. Don't expect more of our police department what we're not willing to pursue in our society.
Man, that's strong. I'm going to put that on a poster or something, man. Sheldon, seriously, can I keep you for the hour?
Sure.
All right, man. Hang around. What troubles me is that now all of a sudden all police are criminals and all the sinners are saints and all the protesters are anarchists. And when you paint with that broad brush, man, you have this myopic view of what's dark in the world and you don't see any light. And it's frightening, Sheldon, frightening.
It's scary. And, you know, the whole protest thing, and again, here we have an issue where people are demonstrating because they uphold their First Amendment right to be able to a free speech. And about this protest, if I can, I want to speak to this.
All right, hold on.
Issue.
I'm going to take a break and come back, all right?
Sure.
Appreciate you. Marty Griffin, I have Sheldon Williams. I wanted to grab one of his coworkers. Hi, Peggy. How are you?
Hi, Marty.
How are you?
Hi, Sal. It's Peggy.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Sheldon, Peggy's on the phone.
Hi, Peggy.
Does he owe you
Hi,
money?
Sal.
Does he owe you money or something? What's going on here, Peggy?
No. Sheldon and I were partners, and he was a great partner, great friend, good mentor to my son. But I wanted to tell you a quick story about some racism that we dealt with.
Yeah.
we worked together, and another one of our coworkers' father passed away. So we were going to go together to the funeral home, and I was very pregnant at the time with my second son. I spilled something on myself at lunch and didn't want to go to the funeral home with the stain. So we stopped at a department store, a little clothing store down the street from the funeral home. And of course, while I was there, because I was pregnant, I grabbed a couple little outfits for the baby. And Sheldon and I got in line, and there was a woman cashier, and she looked at us, and she had a look of disgust on her face when she saw I was pregnant. She was very aggressive with how she was ringing things up and putting them in the bag. And Sheldon, without batting an eyelash, put his arm around me and gave me a kiss on the cheek and said, "We're going to have the cutest little redheaded afro baby."
That is
beautiful. I'm a redhead. Right. And he, you know, just made it a funny thing. We were both kind of angry, but he, you know, turned it into something humorous. But I'll never forget that.
So she was judging you because she assumed or presumed you were an interracial couple, and that bugged the crap out of
her.
Yeah, yeah.
We were in plain clothes, and I was very pregnant, and we were in line together, you know, and she saw the baby clothes and thought that I was, you know, having his child. Which, you know, anyone who is a father or a son of Sheldon would be blessed.
Peggy, how do you respond to the attacks on police on the streets? You've been criminalized and demonized and marginalized.
Well,
how does that?
You know, I put something up on my Facebook, and I was actually called a racist, but it was a circle, and it said, you know, you can feel all these three things: total disgust at the murder that Chauvin committed, because I think he's a psychopath.
Right.
I mean, watching that video was awful. You can support the police because you know that the majority of them are good people, and you can, you know, back the protest, which I do. I have a biracial son.
Nice.
I, you know, back these protests, but I don't back these riots.
Right.
And I don't back the damage. You know, you can feel all those things. This is what's bothering me. We're supposed to be put in this bubble where we, you know, are disgusted with everything, or we support everything, and that's not the way it is. But I was a police officer for almost 30 years on the city, and I did not see the hate that people are claiming was there when I was on the job. I'm not saying there weren't bad cops. There were. I'm not saying there weren't cops that were biased and prejudiced. There are, but it's your upbringing. And I totally agree with Sheldon when he said you cannot train ethics. You either have it or you don't. You know, you're either raised right or you're not raised right. And, you know, yeah, you can hold people to standards on our job, but you can't teach that. That's just something you have.
Sheldon, you wanted to address the protests and the demonstrations and the rioters.
Sure.
Jump in here. Sheldon Williams, a fantastic retired Pittsburgh cop who has a lot of authority in this community. Go ahead, sir. Thank you, Peggy.
Thanks to Peg. What I wanted to add to Peggy's story is that it was very obvious what she witnessed. And, you know, I could say all day that I sense this is what this individual is doing and assuming. But it allowed, even though we made a joke of it at that moment, it allowed for a further discussion between me and my coworkers. And that's what I want to get the value out of that. By having a relationship, a working relationship where I could express some of these things and we could talk about it, helps us towards healing some of the issues. And so that's what I want to say on the tail end of that story. But about the protests, you know, Peggy's experience is different than mine. She says that she, you know, and I don't discount what she's saying, that she see, you know, in seeing it, but we can have the discussion. That's the value of having a multi-ethnic police department and pursuing those elements so that people don't have to have just their limited perspectives. You can share these experiences. But as far as the protests, supporting why people have the right to protest, First Amendment right. That is established by Constitution, secondly protected by our military. I embrace it wholeheartedly. People can speak their mind, even if they have speech that I don't agree with and have had that.
Right.
There are people out there spewing hate speech, but they have the First Amendment right to do that. And, you know, they doesn't make them less accountable for the words they put out there, but they're permitted.
Right.
These protests that are happening and the overwhelming amount of people pouring out and supporting it.
Right.
I want to state the unbelievable restraint on part of police officers and accommodation.
Right.
police officers are there and people are screaming different things at them, they're poised. They can take that stuff, you know, and the people are expressing themselves. Even their hate and disdain for police, they're well poised to handle that. That's how they're trained.
Right.
But when individuals start going towards lawless behavior, breaking things, trying to challenge people and try to cause harm or threat, the police officers are obligated to do their job and to bring safety to all. And so what people are wrapping up in some of these protests is that individuals who have other motives other than coming to speak their mind, there has to be a point in time where officers have to come back in and say, for the safety of all, we have to control this element. And so I know council's talking about, you know, county council's talking about restricting the use of smoke and they call tear gas, CS gas and pepper spray. Those elements, those things are not used to punish protesters. They're used to deny people space. When certain activities starts to emerge and starts to happen where now it is becoming dangerous, destruction of property or threat of harm to others, officers use those type of munitions to deprive people of space so that they can corral that the behaviors and try to settle that. It's not meant to harm or to punish in the deployment of that. And that's where we have to view the use of it and the reasons why individuals use it to make sure that it was reasonable in its use. So when people think that they want to, you know, I hear defunding the police.
Right.
And changing.
Sending social workers to domestic calls.
You know, you can really mismanage some of those situations. You mentioned how dangerous those situations, and they can turn on a dime. And I would start by saying our police officers and our public safety personnel, by and large, are overwhelmed by 911 calls as it stands now. The first step would be is to start parsing out what do our responders and our officers need to respond to, first of all, because everybody dumps on the 911 system. And you talked about, you know, you heard that New York police officer talk about all those interactions. People call 911 for some of the most ridiculous things, and it takes up resources. And, you know, officers and firefighters and medics are running to different calls when they could be out there handling more serious calls or be able to handle what they're actually entrusted to do. So we could start with there. Like, look at how we're dispatching our police. Our public safety personnel are running from call to call to call. It's hard for them to establish connection and community when all they're doing is responding to the 911 calls that are going out.
Sheldon, I got to keep you on hold. I got to have you one more segment. All right, man?
Sure, man.
Important questions for Sheldon Williams. What a pleasure to have him. Sheldon Williams joining me, retired Pittsburgh cop, highly regarded in both the police department and the city, African-American community leader, spiritual leader, and a friend who I've heard from. When I was sick, I heard from him all the time. How much he cares is beyond belief. Hey, so I ask this question to folks, and I know you have both your son and daughter, right, in public service. Would you have, if you had a kid right now, and they say, hey, Dad, I want to be like you, I want to be a cop, what would you say, Sheldon?
Yeah, thanks for that question. Actually, my son is in public safety.
Right.
Both my kids are military. And I have a daughter who wants to pursue being in law enforcement.
Oh.
So she is not there yet. But my youngest, that was Brookie's mom. Those who may be listening, I lost my granddaughter, and that was her mother. A difficult time, and
it
we
was.
Talked through that as well. But and I appreciate your support of Brookie during that time as well, as we tried to look at positive ways to bring forth a message. But the point being about her pursuing that, I don't dissuade her. I didn't tell neither one of them they had to go into the military. They were looking at all options. I gave them the good and bad. And I said the same thing about law enforcement for my daughter. I would absolutely would support her decision to go into law enforcement because I know out of her heart why she wants to do it. But I also would challenge her about her productivity and her pursuit while she was operating, if she chooses to go into law enforcement. And what I mean is that it's unbelievable the swing, the pendulum swing that she's going to experience in law enforcement. You'll go from overwhelming support for what you do to being an outcast in society because of the actions of others.
Right.
And that pendulum swing, you just have to understand it.
Nice.
But at the core, why you do and why you're called to do what you are supposed to do, that we're up to uphold the law. And then also would challenge her to say that that she will experience varying degrees of perspectives throughout her law enforcement career. and that she needs to be solid. She needs to stand solid on what she believes in and embrace what the responsibility is. And for law enforcement, our responsibility is to be the thin blue line between chaos and order. We stand together to ensure the safety of all people, but we are willing to be that thin blue line that's going to look at those things that are happening and erupting throughout society to make sure we maintain safety for all. And if she can embrace that, then I would embrace her walking as a law enforcement officer.
Hey, what's your message? What's the message that you have to all folks out there who have demonized and criminalized all police officers? What's your message, sir?
That is no different than the message that is actually trying to be expressed by categorizing all individuals and lumping them all together. But we got to resist that challenge to try to classify all officers similarly. But also, too, that we have to be willing to pursue account. I think accountability is in a lot of the statements that we say that we want our officers to be accountable. And for our law enforcement officers that gristle against criticism, and rightfully so, that our actions have to be scrutinized. The job of a law enforcement officer is so huge that there is no other, very few jobs in America that at a just based off of your perception, you can take somebody's liberty or their life. Huge amount of weight of responsibility. Wow. But in turn, whenever that comes about, that you have the decision-making, understand that people want to be able to understand when you made that decision, was it appropriate? And then there needs to be appropriate accountability, but scrutiny is not criticism. And our actions should be scrutinized to make sure that they are justified and that they are done appropriately so. And one final thing that I'll say about every interaction between a law enforcement officer and a citizen, even if it's unpleasant, does not mean that it is guided by or initiated by race alone. We understand that it exists. Sometimes it's just rude behavior. Somebody just might be rude at the moment, and that's on both, on both sides of that argument. But secondly, that understanding that officers run from one situation to another, and if a situation emerges where they don't seem to be as pleasant,
right.
Understand you don't know the calls that they may have just came from.
Right on.
But that does not excuse law enforcement officers from their conduct towards the public. Our number one complaint against law enforcement is not excessive force, it's actually discourtesy. Mm. And so in handling citizens, we just work towards understanding the job that they have, understanding that the people that they're supposed to care for on the other side, and come together and say there can be harmony and expecting our police officers to uphold their responsibility.
Thanks, my man. You are the best. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Mm. Amazing.